Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda
to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down that chaotic 2-2 draw against Monterrey at the Estadio BBVA. We'll talk a little bit about this doble jornada coming up as América is facing Atlético de San Luis. And of course, we'll finish off the show with a big preview for the upcoming Clásico Capitolino as América goes off and faces Pumas in this matchup. So a lot to talk about, a lot to break down, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of back and forth as to what we discuss about this Águilas in América. And to help me out and to talk all things Águilas with me is none other than everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. Glad to be back talking América again and, you know, looking forward to this episode.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting that, you know, after last week's conversation and this week's conversation, we might be a little bit more optimistic than we were last week, although there's obviously some concerning things that we need to break down as well. But overall, I just kind of want to hear your impressions or thoughts after the full-time whistle as América walks away with a draw, which you called very well.
I did. I think I said it would be a scrappy draw too, and we did have to scrape by and scrape that draw out of the bottom of the pot. But you know, I think there was kind of no surprise how it kind of started. I mean, I felt like, you know, with the way Monterrey was pushing forward, I mean, I feel like it was going to open up eventually, you know, whether it had been for América or for Monterrey, and obviously, you know, getting scored on in the first, 20 minutes of the game. I think this says a lot, you know, and then right before halftime again, a very, very, I think, concerning first half. I feel like the second half kind of turned it around, especially with, you know, I think some subs early on, you know, especially with Fidalgo coming on, and then I think Sanchez too kind of came on sometime in the second half. So I feel like, you know, something was said at halftime, something was done at halftime for things to get changed around.
Absolutely. And it's kind of like what we had the conversation last week, right, with Fidalgo and him being so instrumental in this midfield and in this team in general, kind of going forward. Once he stepped onto the pitch, things started to move a little bit better for América. Although it wasn't to say that América didn't create their chances, right? I think everyone that has been on Twitter or anyone that has been anywhere in social media has seen that the Alan Saint-Maximin has been the talk of the town continuously, right? We said that he didn't have the best Clásico, but he came into this game and actually stepped it up a little bit, right? He played the full 90 minutes, I believe. Let me double check that before I get canceled for saying the wrong information. But yeah, there you go. Played the full 90 minutes, which is huge. It's his first full 90 minutes, and I think this is important for him to kind of get that under his belt. He was impressive on the ball. He was making things happen. And there was a couple of passes that he made that and didn't end up going to nobody, but I think that's because nobody actually made the run. And I think he's a very smart player, and he reads the game very well. And I think once we find him an actual number nine to pair well with, whether that's Zúñiga needing a little bit more time to play with him, whether that's Búfalo Aguirre, which we'll talk about him, he got himself a goal, or Henry Martin when he comes back. But he needs to have that central nine in there to find and give the ball to. And I think we'll see a lot more goals for América. But yeah, Saint-Maximin, I think, had a phenomenal game in that sense. A lot of people said that he was the man of the match, even though he didn't contribute with a goal or an assist. But yeah, he looked very sharp, and I think we're going to get the best of Maxi yet. Like we mentioned, this is an adaptation period. And Dylan, we always mention, even with guys not coming from Europe, right, from South America or stuff like that, we always mm-hmm. say, give this guy about a month or two to kind of acclimate to everything. And Maxi might be there within a month's time.
Yeah, no, I think you can even argue probably even sooner, especially with his first minutes with the club. You know, two goals in his first two appearances. I think it goes to show too with 90 minutes where he stands physically in terms of him being fit. So I think that says a lot too, especially like you kind of mentioned, I've been getting acclimated to the league and then playing with the club too as well.
Yeah, and then kind of circling back to what we were talking about with Fidalgo and Chiquito Sanchez. Like this midfield at first, when you first look at it and when you saw the starting 11, you kind of poking your hand thinking, this is a little worrisome, right? You have, you don't have Chiquito there at all in the midfield, right? You have Israel Reyes, and then you have Alan Cervantes. Alan Cervantes was someone that we expected to start because we needed a disruptor in the midfield. But I just don't think that, you know, Israel Reyes does the same thing as Álvaro Fidalgo does, right? I mean, obviously, comparing apples to oranges here. But
didn't the last episode, didn't we kind of contemplate throwing Israel out there?
Yeah, we did. We did. But I think we always thought it's either going to be Israel or Cervantes playing in that midfield, but not necessarily them together. And it showcased that it can't work. It just can't work with both of them in that midfield. And then the biggest kind of, not a red flag, but kind of the biggest name shocker that was in that starting 11 was Alexis Gutierrez playing in that number 10 role, which, you know, honestly, I forgot he was playing with us. He hadn't featured in quite a while, and then for him to get the start against such a big, big rival, right?
No, big ass, yeah.
It was interesting, but, you know, he played to his limitations, and, I think he played to what Andre Jardiner wanted to, but he just wasn't impactful enough, and so... He played decent.
I gotta give him some credit for what he did, especially for what was asked, especially against the team that they were playing. So I think he played pretty decent.
Yeah, and you know, his understanding with Maxi on one side and Sanchez on the other wasn't always going to be the most perfect, right? Especially because of the fact that he hasn't been playing with the team so long, or with these players regularly in a starting 11 role. And then Zuniga up top, which I think was obviously the right call to make. We wanted to see that as well. Again, it just seems so unfortunate that he has another one of those games where you kind of want to say he wasn't that good, but you then kind of dig deep. And maybe if you watch the game all over again, he's not getting service. He's having to chase down the ball a lot more than he's actually getting the ball on his feet. I feel bad for our number nines. I feel like we don't necessarily play to their strengths. And I think Zuniga has just been a victim of like poor creative midfielders in our starting 11, you know?
It's not Henry either that's out there, you know? I think it's a different story if it was Henry, you know, because I think Henry was the one to see that hustle and chasing the balls, you know, open up play a little bit too with the midfielders, because I think that's how they understood each other. But with Zuniga, it's different, you know? It's a player that, you know, again, like you said, hasn't been here for a while. It doesn't really, you know, might not mesh well with the team. I mean, you would think, you know, at this point he would be, but I mean, Maxi's gone so much further and better, you know, and so it's just kind of wondering, you know, what's the holdup, you know, what's lacking, you know, what's missing, you know, what needs to be said to get his confidence up.
Yeah, honestly, a goal. I think a goal would do him a world of wonders. Which hopefully, I mean, we'll get to the America San Luis game, and I'm not too sure if he's going to start that game, but I'm sure he will see minutes. Hopefully he can bag himself a goal. Obviously, I saw that Atletico San Luis is no easy task, as we'll discuss their form in just a moment. But going back to this Monterrey game, I think the first opening 20 minutes, like you mentioned, was frustrating because obviously you concede, but you concede in a way where Monterrey has all the momentum going forward at the beginning. And it's not until America gets scored on that they settle down and start moving the ball better. They start organizing themselves and they start dictating the tempo with the ball. I just feel like if you would have had that kind of impact from the beginning and you know, you would have been tighter in defense, maybe Monterrey doesn't score that goal, or maybe doesn't score the second goal. Obviously, the first goal is a little bit more of a rebound in the box off a corner kick, but it just it always felt like Monterrey's goal was coming no matter what, and América just had no answer, right? And you circle back to this defense and you think, where are the faults at, right? And it's unfortunate that of Dagoberto's injury is as severe as it is, because I think, you know, it sucks to have to lose a player in such an important game as well, and that, you know, was playing a good matchup, a good season in general. But it's unfortunate. And now that Dagoberto, like we mentioned, updates on him, he's going to be out for, what, almost a year?
Yeah. Yeah. That's no joke to you to his injuries. It's going to be missed, you know, and it's just, I've already kind of mentioned it too. I know this is kind of a little off topic from the Monterrey game, but I think it goes to show too that, you know, because I don't have confidence in Kevin. You know, I think we should move on from Kevin. I was kind of giving him this season to see what he does, Kevin, but it's just from the little that I've seen from him, you know, it's just already made me mad enough. So I'm just like, it's time to let this guy go. I mean, he's not the player he was whenever he first started, then he got injured, and like he just never really bounced back from that.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting is how we go going forward. Is Kevin going to be the automatic starter, or do you see kind of Israel Reyes play that right back role the way he did in that Bicampeonato tournament?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But overall, I mean, I've seen some pretty hot takes on Twitter saying that Monterrey were the clear and obvious favorites for this game, and they played like that. I'm not quite so sure Monterrey, you know, kind of ran us out of the pitch the way that people kind of want to interpret this game. I think if this game ends 2-0, maybe they have some merit. But I do think we played much better than to what the result gave. Honestly, if the referee doesn't, for some reason, end the game 2 minutes before he said it was supposed to end, I think America may even had a chance to win it all, Dylan.
I can kind of see the argument for the first half, maybe. Yeah, for some reason, all the reason this play game, I just played 45 minutes. Like, you know, I think, sure, like, you know, I'll give that to you. But if you look the full 90, I mean, I think the second half was totally different. You know, I feel like America woke up, you know, and had more chances, you know, made better chances in the second half than they did in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about the biggest talk of this matchup, and that was Ramon Juarez. Obviously, back into the starting 11 after us pleading for him last week on the podcast. And my God, did he take his chances. I mean, he looked good in defense. I think maybe in the second goal, you maybe question a little bit of that communication with the center backs, leaving so much kind of space for Canales to run into. Of course, I forget who was the man kind of leading him on the side. I want to say it was Borja, but I could be wrong. Still, though, I don't put that blame 100% on Ramon Juarez, although there needs to be better communication just in that back four in general. But he looked solid. He looked confident. He looked like he was up for the task. And I mean, what better way than to demonstrate it than to get the equalizer at the end of the game, and to, you know, add a cherry on top. You win a header on the legendary Sergio Ramos, to, you know, the man who's known for winning all the headers. So I mean, nothing but praises for Ramon, right?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what more you could have asked for him in a game like that. You know, it's a big game. To me, I think a little bit of a turning point in the game, like, because we're a little past that halfway point. You know, now it's just kind of, it feels like, in a sense, like, you know, it's make or break. You know, who's going to show up and show out? And Ramon Juarez, you know, realized that the spotlight was there, but it didn't let it get too big for him in his eyes. And, you know, I think, you know, the praise that we give him is warranted, because he's earned that, you know, since, you know, he stepped onto the pitch every time.
Absolutely. And look, I mentioned this last week when we were talking about Ramon Juarez. He bleeds Club America, right? And he even said it in his interview afterwards with Gibran Araige that, you know, he's just, the reason why he was able to win that header was because that, you know, he bleeds Club America, that Club America is everything for him. And so that love and that passion and that drive he has for this team is what, you know, fuels him to go out there week in and week out to play to his best. And honestly, you need a player like that, right? Not just the fact that he's from the academy, and obviously that helps, but someone who has that fire, who understands and who knows what this club and this institution is all about, and that is willing to go and die for the club, theoretically, even for just a league matchup, is huge. And so I don't think we've had a canterano like this since the likes of, and this might be a hot take, but it's maybe since the likes of Cuauhtémoc Blanco that came out and kind of representative and put himself kind of as an Americanista. So I don't know if that's a hot take to you, Dylan, but I think I haven't seen someone with that passion and that drive. Obviously, we've had the likes of Raul Jimenez. We've had the likes of Diego Reyes, the Linus as well.
Edson Alvarez. That's where my mind went first whenever you were saying that. You said Cuauhtémoc, and I was like, oh, you can go to Edson, maybe.
Yeah, you're like, you didn't have to go so back. Edson, 100%. Yeah, sorry. Excuse me, Mr. Edson. I completely blinked out. But yeah, and it's nice to see someone come out of the ranks like that. Obviously, he's a different type of player, right? He's not going to be an Edson profile, but he's a center back, right? And I know there's so many comparisons to Ramon Juarez and Capitan Furia, Mr. Tena himself. And I mean, you just can't help but to feel like, yeah, this guy might be the next reincarnation of Alfredo Tena, but we'll have to wait and see. But I like him. I like him a lot. And we've talked about his limitations to this game, but I think as the years progress, not only will he be America's number one starter in defense, but I would dare to say he would be America's captain.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see that too, especially whenever you're getting compared to Tena too. It's just, you know, obviously like you see some of the players who come up from his ranks, like you said, from the Cantera, and it's just like, we want you to stay, but he probably has the aspirations obviously to go to Europe too. So
yeah.
Absolutely. That's gonna be the better sweet part too.
Yeah. And he has all the capabilities of it, right? And look, he can even sneak into this roster for the World Cup coming up. So I think he has everything going for himself, right? I think he needs to continue to establish himself. And honestly, right now, he has the starting 11 locked in. It's up to him, though, now to keep it in his hands and not let go of it. And we'll see if he's capable of doing that. And because if he is, then he's the player that all of us expect him to be.
100%.
Alrighty, well, that was America versus Monterrey. Honestly, it was a frustrating watch. I was not happy at all, especially after that second goal went in. I was just furious. Absolutely furious, because I'm just like, why are you playing like this? And I felt like, and I told you guys, we were going to take belt to butt with Monterrey if we kept playing the way that we did. And it felt like it after the second goal. There was just no response. And then, like you mentioned, substitutions were made at halftime. I think we have to applaud Jardine for that, right? He made the right decisions. Move his pieces correctly. And like I mentioned, if things turn out a little bit different, if we get a little bit more out of time, if maybe one of Maxi's passes finds a better runner, this game completely turns on its head. And I mean, if we're talking about a 3-2 comeback victory, I mean, that tabloids are running with it as America's the ultimate favorite for this one. But yeah, America versus Monterrey. Do you think we saw a preview of the final? That's what a lot of people are saying, that this was a preview of the upcoming final.
I would think so too. I mean, obviously, you know, we want America back in the final, you know, especially revenge after losing out on the Tetra. But I feel like, you know, that was it right there.
And look, I understand that Monterrey has a very good solid squad, but Monterrey is Monterrey, and they sometimes find a way to fumble it in Liga. Honestly, if you're asking me who I prefer to have in the final, if we were guaranteed to play in the final, I would want the Luka. I want our lick back. I want our chances to get revenge. And that would be ultimately the ultimate candidate to face. But I want to see a different final. I mean, obviously, we've played Monterrey a couple of years already in finals. If we don't get the Luka this year, I don't know. I'd just like to see a new person in the final against America. But we'll see what happens, right? All right, then. Anything else to add before we wrap up this segment?
No, just, I guess, really, again, kind of touched on that, but really loved seeing the team fight to the end. I mean, because it didn't really seem like there was much in the first half. So a good second half, I think a lot of positives to take away. Again, you know, if it didn't end too soon, I kind of smelt that third goal coming, you know, to win it. But alas, you know, I'm not the ref, and I don't think I would want to be the ref at that point.
Yeah, I don't know either why he finished it so quickly. And it's, from my understanding, it's a minimum of added time. So that's a minimum you give, and then you can add more to it if you need to. But not like, this is the max I'm going to give. I get to call it whenever I call it.
You probably think Kanye Sally gets you.
Probably. And he was in Monterrey, so that would make sense. So we'll see. But yeah, very good fight from the team. And of course, very good, solid point to get away from a very tough stadium. And hopefully this team can continue to build on what they dropped off against the Clásico. So we'll see what happens. All right, coming up, we're talking América versus San Luis, doble jornada. Should be an interesting one. Americanistas, today's episode is brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar, the official home of Club América in the United States. Every game this season will be streamed at Tom's Watch Bar. That's right, all the games, all the time, meaning you always have a place to catch our Águilas in action. So head over to your local Tom's Watch Bar to experience an America game like never before. Visit tomswatchbar.com/events for more information. Thank you to Tom's for sponsoring today's episode. All right, Dylan, you ready to talk doble jornada here with me? America versus San Luis. Another road game for America. We just traveled from Monterrey, and now we're on the bus once again. This time we're off to San Luis Potosí. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I think after seeing, you know, like again, a little bit of a comeback. I don't know if you really call it a comeback because you went obviously, but you know, to be able to scrape by, you know, with that draw, again, a lot of good takeaway. I feel really good, especially where this team is at. Obviously, I think question marks around that right back spot. What's going to happen, especially since Roberto's out. you know, especially for this whole year. So a lot of question marks there, but nonetheless, I feel really confident, especially with the likes of potentially Fidalgo returning to the starting 11. You know, so I think we're feeling pretty good right now.
Absolutely. And look, this is not going to be one of those easy matchups, right? Even though we've had tendency to have good luck in San Luis, although with, I guess, an asterisk on that one time we played them at the beginning of the season after winning the Campeón de Campeones, and we ended up losing, I think, 2-0 or something like that, or 1-0. Yeah, I can't remember. So. But, I mean, doesn't it, returning back to his old stomping grounds, I'm sure this is going to be a very emotional game for him as well. And look, Atlético San Luis is no pushover, right? They've had their difficulties throughout the season. I know they're in 10th place, but they're coming off a really good result against Santos Laguna, right? One thrashing on the road for them. So they're coming on with a big old high. And technically, they're undefeated in the last two games since they drew against Tijuana. Again, it's one of those things where you have to look at it and say, there's no such thing as an easy game in Liga MX. You have to go out there and perform and give it your all. And look, these are three important, super important points for America to get on the board here. Look, the people that are fighting at the top, they're not letting up for nothing, right? And even though America has only lost one game, they sit in fourth place. Toluca, who has lost two, actually, is sitting in front of us with 19 points. And so, obviously, Monterrey is sitting in second with 22nd, and Cruz Azul somehow still hasn't lost and is sitting up top with 23 points. So there's not that much wiggle room, America, if they do want to. I mean, the furthest we can go is third place, Dylan, but still, we need to continue to rack up those points. And so, again, a matchup in where a lot of the experts will say you are heavy favorites and a lot maybe might favor you, but you still have to go out there and win the game, right?
Right, yeah. Like you said, too, a lot of things can happen on this table, especially with San Luis. I mean, at this point in time, they're a fringe playoff team, you know, so they're obviously looking, you know, especially at home to get 3 points to help their chances. And who knows, maybe they look at this as a turning point for them in the season too. So a lot on the line, I think, for both teams, especially if we want to stay in at least this top four, you know, and try to move up the board in the future.
Yeah. And look, they're coming in with the league goal scorer, right? I mean, Joao Pedro Geraldinho with 8 goals. So, I mean, I know we're very leaky at the back, so we need to find a way to kind of lock him out, cut off his service. And I think if America can do that, they can kind of coast away with the matchup, right? Let's see what Jardine presents. I think he'll come out with a strong squad. Reports right now coming out saying that not only is Saint-Maximin returning to the starting 11 and kind of cementing his spot there, but it looks like we'll have Brian Rodriguez in the starting 11 as well with Maxi. So that's actually very exciting, Dylan.
Yeah, that is. I think really interesting. I'm guessing it'd be the 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maxi would be at?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And look, we didn't touch upon this in our recap of the game against Monterrey, but Brian Rodriguez, when he came on, he looked electric. I mean, he was a defining player and kind of made the play kind of on his own with Maxi's help right there to get the goal for Buffalo Aguirre. So he was important from the moment he stepped onto that pitch and from the moment he stepped onto that left-hand side where he wants to be at. So it will be interesting to see Saint-Maximin on the number 10 with Brian Rodriguez on the number 7 role. Zendejas on the right, which I think he needs to start stepping it up. Zendejas has been playing a little bit poorly for my liking. But this is an opportunity, this is a chance to kind of get momentum going. But yeah. A lot of interesting stuff. We'll see Ramon Juarez again start, which will be interesting to see if he can help the defense find a clean sheet, which I think they desperately need right now. But overall, I think we feel confident that this team is capable of walking away with 3 points. It's just managing the game properly and I guess not making silly, cheap mistakes.
No, yeah, 100%. I mean, again, but like you kind of said, it won't be easy. I mean, no game in this league is easy, but, you know, I think it's still a manageable 3 points to get. You know, it's 3 points that's needed too at this point.
Absolutely. So this is a must win and a must 3-pointers against a rival that I guess many people will say is not up to par with America's squad. But still, go out there. Don't play with the assumption that you've already won this game just because you're America. Because then look what happened in the Clásico. You just can't give yourself, you can't give your opponent that that luxury to think that, you know, you're coming in already thinking you've won without even stepping on the pitch, which is ultimately detrimental to what the game plan is. Hopefully, we'll see an America victory. And if it is, then fantastic. What are you going with prediction-wise?
The scoreline? Yeah, I'll throw you this one, Ivan. I'm feeling really good. Maybe some people you might say too good. Some people might say too good, but I'm going to go with a 2-0 win.
2-0, that's great. That's honestly the perfect result for me in this one, right? You get yourself a couple of goals, you bag yourself a clean sheet, and you walk away feeling good. Obviously, going into a Clasico, you need something like this to kind of elevate you. So 2-0, I'm loving it. I'll go one step above you. I'll go even more optimistic. I'll go even crazier. I'll go 3-0.
Ivan, you have me think you're going to go 5-0.
Well, I was thinking about it, but I was like, wait, well, hold on. Let's slow it down here. But yeah, I think, look, ultimately a victory is a victory. I mean, if we walk away with a 1-0 result, 3 points added to the board, it's crucial at this point. You're at that stage where you can't take a wrong step. And so I think America needs to focus and walk away with 3 points here, because it would be detrimental to the season if America doesn't. So let's see what happens. But yeah, that is the Doble Jornada preview for us. America versus San Luis. This game's at 8 p.m. Pacific, so it's going to be a late one for the East Coast. It's going to be 11 p.m. over there. Late one for you, Dylan. 10 o'clock for our friends over in the Central Standard Time Zone, midweek. So it's a school night. It's a work night. Yeah, we're all going to be struggling to stay up, but hopefully America can make it easy by scoring a couple of goals and making the game fun and interesting.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope to make it worth it staying up that late for it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, this game's going to be on VIX. So if you guys don't have VIX, I suggest you find a way to get VIX, because it looks like VIX is the only place that they're going to be streaming this game on. So America versus San Luis. All right, then let's coming up. We are going to be talking Clásico Capitolino, América versus Pumas. A very, very, very good matchup underway in América's second Clásico of the season. We'll see what has in store for us. Hey, Americanistas, Ivan here, and I wanted to invite you guys to sign up to our weekly newsletter if you guys haven't done so already. Make sure you guys head over to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, and that way you guys can sign up and subscribe, and you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. We give you guys a full weekly recap every Friday of the ins and outs of Coapa. And of course, we keep you guys up to date with what's going on in our world as well regarding the podcast. So if that is something you guys are interested in, that's something you guys want to do, make sure you guys head over again to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América.
All right, Dylan, América versus Pumas,
the most passionate Clásico there has been in Mexico City for the longest time ever now. It's been dialed down a little bit, let's face it, right? It's probably for the best, you know, with the fact that these two institutions hate each other since, you know, the youth academy system. They hate each other to the core. But it is a game in where I do think America, if they come in with a victory against San Luis, I think they can not necessarily cruise home a victory here, but they can definitely put themselves in a better position than Pumas is right now. Obviously, they're coming in eighth place at we'll see what their position is after the Doble Jornada, but they've won 3 games, drawn 4, and only lost 2. So this is a Pumas side that has a Keylor Navas now, which I'm sure. Oh, and Ramsey, right?
Yeah, Aaron Ramsey, yeah.
And Aaron Ramsey. So it'll be interesting to see how these America players go up against the likes of that. Look, honestly, I think Maxi will have a field day out there if given the opportunity. So obviously, it's a Clásico, Dylan, and we've already started off wrong here by losing 1. So it feels like the pressure is even on more now for this game than ever before.
Yeah, no, definitely 100% too, especially like now since we lost to Chivas. So like now you try to go in 2-for-1 on Clásicos for this season. So I feel like that's where a lot of the pressure also comes from too, is that loss. And especially too, as we move toward the end of the season going into hopefully Liguilla. So we'll see what happens, you know, especially to, I mean, granted, you know, they're both in Mexico City, but you're not necessarily traveling, you know, you're having your rival come across town, you know, to you. So it's nice to be able to just stay home after two road games.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to have that, I guess, that little advantage of not having to travel in that sense. You mentioned it, right? It's a 2-for-1 in this situation, and it's unfortunate, but it's the one thing that, as an America fan and as an America player, I think you understand is that every Clásico is a must-win game. Obviously, every game of the season is that, but this is kind of tenfold in that sense because it is your most hated rival across I guess across the street, if you want to get technical in that sense.
It's like across town.
Across town, there you go. Thank you. I was blanking out there. But yeah, look, in these type of games, we have certain expectations. I think we've had certain expectations from America for the longest time now as to how we want them to win, how we want to see them win, and all that good stuff. Lately against Pumas, it's been wishy-washy. Either we have a phenomenal game or we have a stinker where we barely either salvage a point. So I want to see kind of us find some footing and play a good game where we don't really necessarily need to rely on any antics or anything outside of our own control to walk away with a result. Now, I get it. This Pumas side has looked a little bit better than years past. But again, I'm going to reiterate this because I've said this against Chivas and it was very much true. And I'm going to say it against Pumas. It's a Clásico. It doesn't matter how you're coming into this game. A Clásico is a Clásico. It's who wants it more at the end of the day. And I want to see an América side that wants this game so much more, so much badly, especially after losing to Chivas at home as well. So this is a way to kind of, not necessarily kind of patch your wounds from the Clásico Nacional, but it's an opportunity to kind of, you know, make amends in a sense for the mistake that you did 2 weeks back.
Yeah, and I think this will be a little bit of, not really a little bit, I think it would be an interesting game, you know, to see on the pitch, because if I'm not mistaken, I think the past three, there's at least been one red card whenever we play Pumas. And I think in the past five, each team's gone 2-2-1. So two wins, two losses, and one draw. I think we're set up for something entertaining, too, in terms of, you know, getting good football, you know, right out down the field too. And I think this is a good showcase too, like you kind of mentioned, Ivany, and to make some amends, you know, because this is a Clásico, you know, we need to go out and win, especially if we're going to come off a good win against San Luis midweek.
Yeah, and we mentioned the fact that obviously this is a Clásico, the fact that we're at the point of the season where really there's no chance for any error, no chance for wiggle room, and you just need to continue to build on it, build on form, build on it, keep going, keep pushing. As if I'm looking at the calendar correctly, yeah, we have Santos, which I guess, quote unquote, could be an easier matchup, but I think Santos has been all over the board that you just don't know what you're going to get with them. You can get the best of the best or you're going to get the worst of the worst. We'll see. And then the biggest matchup, I think, is obviously that game against Cruz Azul, which is on the road. Which is funny enough that we're going to be going to Pumas Stadium to play Cruz Azul in that game. But obviously, that's going to be after the international breaks. A lot of stuff going on, which is crazy to think that Dylan, we have an international break in about 2 weeks. So we need to start building up momentum as much as we can because we're going to start losing it again very quickly like that because of the break. So again, 3 points, super vital, super important. Now let's talk about the players, Jardine himself specifically. There's something about Jardine and Clásicos that lately just hasn't been connecting, right? I mean, we haven't seen the best football in a Clásico on the league side from an América side in a while now. I think the last time I can recall a good Clásico win in league play. I'm not talking about Liguilla. I'm not talking about Champions Cup. I'm not talking about all of that. The last really, really good Clásico that I can remember was probably the time we beat Chivas at home 4-0, which was the beginning of the Tricampeonato.
Yeah, so a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've always found a way to struggle with Cruz Azul, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks later. Cruz Azul tends to have our number sometimes with how to play defensively. So I always feel like that game's been a little bit of a stalemate with Cruz Azul in league play. With Pumas, like you mentioned, 1-2, lost 2, got a draw. So we need to do better in that sense. But the last truly good Clásico that I've seen from this América side was probably like almost 3 years ago with Andre Jardine playing against Chivas. But I don't know. It's something about Jardine and Clásicos. I don't know if people will agree with me, but I just feel like he doesn't. Now, I know a lot of people are not going to agree with me because I don't have a better word to illustrate what I want to say. I just feel like he doesn't have as much passion when it comes to Clásicos. Sometimes I feel like he comes into them not necessarily timid, but with the idea of we're not going to be we're not going to overextend ourselves. We're not going to be super flashy. We're just going to go out there with this game plan, kind of not grind it out, but just kind of play to our games and see if the team folds. I don't know. I want to see more fire, more of kind of that. It's a Clásico, go out there, boys, play it to everything that you got. kind of not necessarily chuck the tactics book out the window and just go out there with passion and flair and hope that that's enough to win you the game. But I don't know. I want to see more of an intensity from the manager to then have a more intense team out there on the pitch.
You feel like he just sees it as kind of just another game, not how it's labeled.
Yes. Which I think, I mean, to some people that would be like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, league play, it's just another game. But I don't, as an America coach, I don't think you can do that. I don't think you have that option of being like, it's just another game, lads. Let's go out there and just give it our best and type of stuff. No, like you have to motivate. You have to tell them like, hey, it's a clásico. And you have players out there like Ramon Juárez that understand, especially him, what this game truly means to the history, to the fans, to the players, to the youth academy. So I want to see a little bit more of a fire under Jardinet and a little bit more of a fire under this team. So I don't know. Will people agree with me? I'm not too sure, Dylan, but that's what I want
to
see.
I wonder if it has to do with kind of like you said, like how did you put it? Like, what, it's not downplayed, but like, you know, like the culture like behind it and like the intensity of the games has gone down. I mean, because, you know, when I was getting into following the club, you know, I didn't really see that, you know, like it was in like, you know, the 90s and 2000s and everything too. It just seems like that's whenever everything started kind of like to level off, you know. So like, in a way, I get what you're saying, but like also, I kind of feel like I'm on the side more, just a little bit more of, you know, like it's another game, like, you know, we need 3 points kind of thing in the season. It's because, I mean, like, it just feel like the culture of these classicals has shifted a lot, you know, compared to how it was back.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we always argue about how washed down the Clásico Nacional is, right? How it's been kind of, you don't see the same intensity, you don't see the same fire. That argument could easily be made against Pumas too. I mean, what this game used to be to what it is today, I mean, if you would have told somebody back in the 70s or in the 80s, actually, like, hey, this game would be played the way it is today, they would be like, no, absolutely no way. We hate each other. There's no way we'd be cordial ever in any sense. Which is crazy to think, because obviously, I mean, not to say that I think America fans can now go into Seoul wearing an America jersey and be fine, right? I'm sure they're still going to get heckled, but, you know, it was before, it was a sin to even be in the vicinity with that intention. I mean, this is a game that has blood on its hands, the actual blood. I mean, it's America, yeah. America fans and Pumas fans fought to the death back in the 80s whenever they played the final, and, you know, people died and stuff like that. And so it has gotten, I think, washed down for the right reasons and for the best of reasons. Because no, yeah, obviously you want this sport at the end of the day is for the families to enjoy and for everyone to enjoy. But you do want to see a little bit more fire, a little bit more passion. I mean, we'll see if we get that, obviously. But I know it's not wrong to look at this game like you mentioned, Dylan. It's another game on the board, a very important game where we have to get 3 points because we're in a very crucial stage of our season. But I want to see a little bit of passion where you go in there knowing that, yeah, all of that is true. All of that can exist. But at the same time, this game means a little bit more to us for a reason, and we got to go out there and kind of showcase it, right? Play a little bit harder, play a little bit rougher. I'm not saying go out there and, you know, get yourself a red card in the first opening 10 minutes, but, you know, don't be so much of a pushover, because we know how Pumas likes to play against us. Pumas likes to be very physical. They like to be a little dirty sometimes, and they try to kind of get under our skin in that sense. And so we need to understand, okay, we know how they're coming into play. We got to have some rough skin, and we can't back down. We have to kind of, you know, man up to the situation and showcase them that we're the better team physically and football and with the ball on our feet. And so we'll see. But what else would you add on?
Obviously, you play the game in real life and on the pitch and everything too. But I think, you know, when you look on paper, I think we have a better squad. You know, I think we have the capability of winning. Obviously, we've seen, you know, this team start, you know, not on the best foot in the season. But, you know, again, I think we kind of over-exaggerate a little bit because, you know, here we are sitting in fourth place, which I think if you tell us right now at this point, like our past level, like, hey, like, we're in fourth place, you know, at this point in the season, going to get up against San Luis and Pumas, we probably wouldn't believe each other. But, you know, this team has the capability of winning. You know, I don't see why we can't grab, you know, 6 points, you know, come, I guess, early Sunday morning, per se, depending on where you're at, or late Saturday night. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, you know, especially with getting Fidalgo back, you know, that's going to be huge, you know, starting 11, you know, Maxi, you know, getting all these minutes now, full 90 minutes, like we kind of mentioned against Monterrey, and, you know, seeing him getting the start again, you know, I think that really just shows where he is physically fit when it comes to his fitness, mentally too, I think. You know, so I think we have the right pieces. It's just, you know, keeping it together, keeping the gel there. And going forward and, you know, putting our best foot forward.
That's exactly what we want to see at the end of the day. It's just get these players out there, let them play their game, let them do what they do best. And like you mentioned, on paper, I think we are the more talented side and we need to go out there and demonstrate it. You know, it's kind of going back to what we mentioned with San Luis. You can't automatically go into this game thinking just because we're the better team means we automatically won this game. But there's still 90 minutes to be played. And so I think, you know, with a good result in San Luis and a very good matchup against Pumas, and you get yourself 3 points, that's like you mentioned, in 1 week you walk away with 6 points, and hopefully, you know, things in the league go a certain way in your favor. Maybe you're looking at a second place spot.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake. I mean regardless, I know I've always said to going into the year that, you know, it's just like, you know, when you get hot too, but I think in some ways too, you know, table position counts. And so I feel like having that home advantage, you know, would be big for us in the future.
It's huge. And I think we need to aspire to get to second place. I mean, first is ideal, right? But we've dropped a little bit of points here and there that I'm afraid we might not be able to catch up to first. But again, there's still plenty of games in the season where things can turn around and America can finish as first place. I mean, it's not crazy to say that America can go out here and win every single game from here on out to the end of the season and finish in first place, because America's done it before. So I guess it's this time will tell situation, but it starts off with this. It starts off with this week, right? A good result against San Luis and a good performance against Pumas. You mentioned a good couple of players that need to go and step up and have a good game. Obviously, Fidalgo coming back, making sure he stays healthy in this matchup more than just his impact. Maxi, again, getting that ball continuously rolling. I think if he can show out and ball out in a Clásico, that's going to boost him even more so than he already is. Sendejas, too. I mean, boy, do you have to have a big impact in this one. Obviously, I know wearing that number 10 jersey is not easy. But it started off pretty well in the beginning of the season, and now I think he's kind of plateaued. We need to see a better Sendejas come out of the gates against Pumas. And so if those three can connect and have a really good game, it doesn't matter who you stick up front. I mean, for goodness sake, you can bring Monzumbito back, and you can stick him up there, and I think America can still win this game in comfortable fashion. So it's just, if we can find the right triangle of players to connect and really be kind of the engine for this side with creativity and all that good stuff, we'll be more than in the driver's seat for this matchup against Pumas.
Big question mark too going into the week is that right back spot. I wonder if Hardenay picks one game, like, okay, I'll start Kevin, the next one, Issa, and then kind of go from there. I wonder what his plan is there.
Honestly, it might just be exactly like, if I'm judging it, I'm thinking I'm giving you one game to give me some confidence in you that you can take this position back. Yeah, and it's 100%. A San Luis game. If he can have a good game against San Luis, that position is his. If not, if we see some mistakes, if we see some... Yeah, Kevin. Kevin's game will be against San Luis. If he has a good game, then he starts against Pumas. If not, I don't think he ever sees a starting 11 again for the rest of the season. Alrighty, well, you just mentioned that this game's also going to be a late one. It's going to be another 8 o'clock game, 8:05 actually. So for those of you who are a little bit nitpicky in that sense, America playing at 8:05 p.m., 10:05 p.m. Central, and 11:05 p.m. Eastern. That game is going to be available on Univision, TUDN, VIX, and of course, Paramount Plus. So if you guys have Paramount Plus, and you guys like watching the game in English, by all means, head on over there and watch that game. Or if you like to stick to the traditional TUDN, I'm sure Carlos Reynoso will be on the call as per usual. I love it whenever Carlos Reynoso is on, because he is just so pure America. So he always has a biased take. And I love it, because it's just, it's an America take all the time. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Prediction for your game, prediction for this game, excuse me, Dylan, what are you going with?
Scrappy. I mean, I think we know how these games kind of go too. Very scrappy, physical. But I think we walk out with 3 points, and it's good to be 2-1.
I love it. I'm just right now I'm loving life, because Dylan's predicted practically every game right up to the season. So as soon as he says victory, I'm going into this game happy. But 2-1 is great. It's phenomenal. What do you say? You going with an America penalty win?
No. I think we conceded one in the last minute.
Okay.
That's okay. We have a mental error. So
those tend to happen. I'm going to go with a 1-0 victory for America. We get the goal off a, how about a cheeky little Panenka goal off a PK from Brian Rodriguez to kind of emulate that Cecilio Domínguez moment that we had so long ago. That would be hilarious. I'd love it. And now Keylor Navas too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be so good.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would love it. Look, 3 points is all we ask for at the end of the day. Whether it comes off a penalty, whether it comes off a rebound, whether it comes off the referee's head itself, I don't care. As long as that ball sees the back of the net and America is walking away with 3 points, that's all I care about.
We'll take it.
So, yeah, we'll take it all day long. But yeah, that game is, like I mentioned, Saturday. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll be live updating you with everything going on in the matchup against San Luis and against Pumas. AJ, again, continues to do a terrific job at goals, gifts, and reactions. I'm sure he's going to have a good time with hopefully that Pumas game. And hopefully that San Luis game isn't a boring one, so that way he can stay up. It's a late one for him as well. All righty then. Dylan, anything else to add on?
No, just feeling good. I feel like we're about to get in a good spot. So I'm feeling really good.
Yeah, look, this could be the turning point in the season where America no longer needs to kind of look back, right? It's could be that point where you just kind of take off and keep on running. And, you know, these two games could be that important. So let's see what happens. Obviously, we're going in with some really good faith. We have a good squad. We have a good coach. It's just, can these players find rhythm and consistency week in and week out? And so we'll see what happens. All righty then. Well, before we wrap it all up, I just want to say thank you to everyone that participated in our ticket giveaway. We did announce our winner today over on our Twitter account. So thank you so much to everybody that participated. We truly love the fact that we're able to do that and we're able to find a way to give back to you guys. So again, thank you so much. We'll be looking forward to, you know, our next opportunity to be able to give back to you guys. So make sure you guys follow us on all our social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. We'd love to hear back from you guys. So again, congratulations to our winner, who is, by the way, let me give out a shout out to our winner, because it's only fair because we did announce this on the podcast first. So shout out to @gwolf1916 for winning the tickets again for the Clásico de México coming to State Farm Stadium in Phoenix, Arizona. So congratulations to him, and thank you guys to every single one of you who participated. If you guys want to buy tickets for this matchup, make sure you go to SeatGeek.com for all that good stuff, and we'll see you guys in Phoenix in a couple of weeks. All right, Dylan, anything else to add on before we wrap it up?
All good. Thumbs up.
Alrighty then, we got a thumbs up from Dylan, so that means we're good to wrap it all up here, guys. Alright, thank you so much to everybody for listening to this, for watching this, and for following us. We continue to do our best to give you guys the best Club America coverage out there. So, with that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care, and as always, Arriba America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.